If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica.
Want to open some cards with me, Adam?
Yeah, I can do that.
The game is a five-card stud. The game is exceedingly simple. Order this is just the cards, data.
Time to pluck a pendulum.
At some point, we're going to, because we originally were doing it where only I was opening cards. Then we moved to opening them at the same time. But at a certain point, I'm going to run out, and then you're going to be the only one with cards left.
There are a few benefits to our listeners from this segment, but for the benefit of our listeners, I should say that these cards are Portfolio Print Trading Cards, Star Trek The Next Generation, Series 1.
I don't get why this is a popular segment. We hear a lot of feedback about how much people like the trading card segment.
I was ready to dump it like after the second time we did it. I didn't think it made good pod at all, but people love it.
I don't know why.
All right.
My first card is called Genesis. It's a pretty messed up picture of Worf screaming and like a weird animal arm. I think this is that episode where they all like start devolving.
Oh, they devolve. I remember really liking that episode.
Yeah.
And Troy turns into a fish. Isn't that her deal? She turns into fish Troy.
Like, yeah. Somebody turns into a spider, right?
Is that Worf?
Maybe Worf turns in. No, Worf turns in. Worf is like a savage beast, and they're like running around the ship trying to get away from him.
Yeah, he's real scary. I have the Naked Now.
Whoa.
Featuring our friend of the show and show mascot, Mr. Drunk Shimoda.
Was he on the card? No, I think
Yeah, he's not on the card, which is, I think, a huge missed opportunity. It's instead... Yeah. It's instead Data and Tasha Yar in profile.
Right. Maybe, have you opened that card before? Or maybe I have.
I think you must have, because I haven't seen it. And it's not in my in numerical order stack.
Mm-hmm. I have The Descent Part 2, or I guess it's just Descent Part 2. It's two different images of Data, one of which has him smiling.
Hmm. The rest of my cards are repeats. I got Remember Me. Remember Me is a great episode in my recollection. Beverly's collapsing world, where she's the only survivor in the universe, basically.
Right. Yeah, the ship keeps getting simpler.
Yeah, that was a real mindfuck of an episode. I like that. I got Elementary Dear Data, I got Hollow Pursuits, and I got Gambit Part 2. Those are all repeats for me.
Mm-hmm. I have one for Conspiracy, which is fun. I think you have that one, right?
Yeah.
I have one,
one of my favorite episodes.
I have one for an episode called Parallels, and it's Riker, and then there's like 1,000 Enterprises swimming toward his head, like sperm to the egg.
Was that the episode where you get to see alternate universe Riker with a giant beard and he's all Borg-weary?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great episode.
Yeah, fun times. And my last one is for an episode called Power Play, and it's a creepy hand going toward Picard's neck. I don't remember this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even though all my cards are repeats, I'm a pretty big fan of these cards. These are artistic depictions of every episode, drawn by Juan Ortiz.
Yeah. Well, he really blew it big time with The Naked Now, but otherwise these are great.
Yeah, I don't know how you watch The Naked Now and not draw a great picture of Shimoda. Maybe Shimoda and some isolinear chips. Maybe Shimoda as an isolinear chip.
What?
I know, right? Like, you could go to so many places.
Yeah. If you're a new listener to the show, we have a segment at the end of every episode called Drunk Shimoda, and it's based on a character in the second episode of the series. So
it
go back and listen to
that. It had such a profound
that.
Influence on us that we talk about him for every episode.
Go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
One cool thing when I look at our stats on our show is that people definitely, when they find out about our show, go back and like listen to the whole series.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad they stick with us after our, I don't know, I don't believe our earliest episodes are bad episodes at all. But it's definitely an example of us sort of finding our way and finding a format, and I think a lot of shows do that. It's not just ours, but
yeah, I think ours maybe because it's about a, you know, it's sort of evergreen in that people will always want to go back and rewatch Star Trek: The Next Generation. We have those old episodes needing to be re-listened to.
Well,
if you go back and listen to something and feel like we're real pieces of shit for saying something, maybe lay off indicting us as we got our feet under us, like learning how to make a good show.
This ad placement is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, go give us a fucking break.
At least until we get to circle back around and start over from the beginning again.
Right.
Which is definitely our plan after we finish The Next Generation. We're going to do The Greatest Generation Series 2.
Yeah.
The do-over.
Let's talk about this episode, The Defector.
Yeah. Season 3, Episode 10, Ben.
Cold open of this episode is a Shakespeare scene. I think it's Henry V, and Data is playing the eponymous role.
If Riker were playing that role, it would definitely be called Henry the V.
Good one.
I'll just find my way out.
Patrick Stewart is playing one of the characters in this, and the guy... This is really, like... confused the hell out of me, because the guy that's playing the other part is, he looks so much like Jonathan Frakes shaved, but he isn't Jonathan Frakes.
A shaven, like, Frakes?
Yeah, he looks like a real shavy Frakes. And I guess he's like an English actor, but
yeah.
I was like, oh, Data, Riker and Picard are doing a Shakespeare scene, and then it cuts to Picard standing there in his uniform watching the action, and it turns out he's like directing Data. He's teaching Data about the dramatic arts.
Yeah, it's so plainly obvious that Patrick Stewart is one of the extra characters that I'm sure that helped inform your suspicion that the other guy was Frakes, but it was
like,
not.
Can't believe Frakes shaved off the beard just for this scene.
Real commitment to the idea.
Yeah. But they have to cut their dramatical work short because they're getting a distress signal from the neutral zone, or like they're picking up a ship that's flying toward Federation space from the neutral zone, which, you know, typically that means some Romulan shit is up, so... they head up to the bridge and they're picking up a, I guess it's called a scout vessel, that is kind of beat up and flying toward Federation space as fast as it can. And the guy is sending out an audio distress signal, like, please rescue me. This warbird is about to
light my ass up, and they get to the border, and it's just as this ship is being pursued by a decloaked warbird, and
this
Picard
scene
has,
is fucking badass.
Yeah, it's some serious shit. And so one thing that I like wanted to talk about a little bit is that Picard is always incensed with the Romulans when they deign to enter the neutral zone.
Yeah.
I feel like they go into the neutral zone kind of often.
Sure.
Like the Enterprise like tiptoes over the line fairly frequently, but he's always morally outraged when the Romulans do it.
Sure.
But anyways, they extend the shields around this shuttlecraft or this scout ship and protect its defector inside. It's like a guy trying to Captain Ramius it, where he's trying to leave Romulan space with his ship, and the warbird fucks off, and they beam this guy aboard, and he is a sub-lieutenant? He introduces himself as Satal, sub-lieutenant Satal.
Yeah, and his story is that he's a lowly nuclear engineer from Sector 7B. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's just sort of an anonymous dude, and the story he drops is kind of amazing. Like, he defects in order to prevent a war.
Right.
They beam him on board, and he's super fucked up. Like, he's got burns all over his head.
Yeah.
And he wants to talk to the captain right away.
I must see your captain immediately.
We'll get you to sick bay after that.
This cannot wait. I have information vital to your survival.
He goes and sits in this at the conference table. He's like bleeding from the face and tells them about this evil Romulan plan that, where the Romulans are building an advanced attack base on a planet called Nelvana 3, which is in the neutral zone. And so it's kind of sets up this sort of Cuban Missile Crisis in space, where the Federation has this highly dangerous situation brewing just off its shores, and Picard has all this shit landing on his shoulders, trying to manage the situation and figure out if it's true. You know, they don't necessarily come from a place of trust when it comes to defecting Romulans, but this guy seems to be real worked up about this, so they want to hear him out. They want to debrief him at the very least.
And Satal is doing, like, capital A acting. This character is rad throughout the entire episode.
Yeah.
He is just chewing the wallpaper here.
Mm-hmm. Chew that pape.
Which I think is sort of a big deal, because he has a lot of prolonged scenes with Patrick Stewart, who is the resident scene chewer of the
right.
show.
And not only that, this is an episode that Patrick Stewart got to do some Shakespearing in.
Sure.
So he's coming with his A game. He knows that his Royal Shakespeare Company friends are going to be watching this episode, and they came. They have a heavy hitter coming up on his heels.
I don't know if it's Satal's uniform or just something I noticed about Romulan uniforms this time around, but man, mm-hmm. you get a lot of detail shot of Satal wearing this thing, and yeah. it looks like a quilted toaster cover you'd find in a nursing home. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen one of those? You go to an old person's house, and like they've got the quilted cover on top of the toaster, or like the bread box or something.
Yeah, or like a tea cozy that they made by hand.
Yeah, it's real ill-fitting and boxy.
Yeah, well, the Romulans are all about like big-ass shoulder pads and then these huge baggy sleeves. They're like wizard sleeves almost, but they don't taper toward the armpit.
Yeah.
They're just like big tubes.
Yeah.
Kind of, there's something sort of karate uniformish about it.
I could see that.
Like some, like the way it hangs a little bit is it draws on that. Yeah, they have, and then they have the like real chopped off bangs. And this guy is a lot of information that I divulge, but he
as they're like discussing this, a car bomb goes off in his shuttlecraft, which is, you know, floating right outside the window.
Is a Romulan car bomb a shot of Romulan ale dropped into a Guinness?
Yeah, Guinan serves those up on the reg.
Yeah.
I set the auto-destruct sequencer before I left the ship.
Why?
Wouldn't you?
This kind of fucks with his credibility in a big way, because they're like, well, dude, if you're defecting to stop a war, we need to go through your ship and like look at the information in its computer and stuff. And instead, you've annihilated any chance that you had any hard evidence to show us. And so we just have to take your word for it that the Romulans are up to some shit.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked. And this starts like a series of questionable actions that Satal has throughout that makes it really hard for him to be seen as a credible source of information about this. Like, on its face, the idea of the Romulans spooling up on this planet and getting ready for an invasion, I mean, any mention of that is worth investigating. But everything about Satal is sort of kneecapping the strength of his information. Like, on the one hand, got to chase it down, got to play Columbo. On the other hand, like, Satal's kind of an idiot.
Worf is onto him from jump. Like, Worf doesn't trust him even a little bit. I think Picard is like, and Riker are going to hear him out. They're willing to be persuaded. And Picard also is getting communiques from Starfleet Command, and we, you know, they're on a super long time delay because they're so far out there. You know, the neutral zone is nowhere near Command HQ, and Admiral Low Rent Reginald Vell Johnson keeps sending them messages to tell him like what Starfleet thinks that Picard should do about this situation.
I called him Admiral Timbaland because to me he really had those Timbaland eyes.
I guess so.
It's really hard for Captain Picard specifically, but generally the rest of the Enterprise crew, to trust any Starfleet admiral about after conspiracy? Like, if I were on FaceTime with a Starfleet admiral, I'd want them to hold the phone up to their neck, right? Let me see if you got a weird bug in you or not. Like, they were just there, and they murdered, like, four people at Starfleet Command. I think they've got to be a little more careful about giving orders if you're Starfleet.
Yeah.
Knowing who they're talking to.
Well, there's a lot of metadata in these phone calls. There's a lot of, like, the time sent.
Yeah.
Like, baked into the bottom of the screen. So, yeah, maybe they've got some new protocols to establish bona fides.
Neck bona fides?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
God, that Reginald Vell Johnson line was cutting, Ben. Real cutting.
Well, he's like a heavy-set guy, black guy with a mustache. Like,
you think Reginald Vell Johnson wasn't going to pick up the phone on the first ring when casting called? They could have gotten him if they wanted him.
Yeah, but he's too cuddly to be an admiral. I think also
he's
the fact that
he's too trustworthy. The leitmotif of the show right now is like sort of a wary ambivalence of the command structure in Starfleet.
Yeah, be real fun if it was him though. Yeah. I mean, just. Like, just to get him out of that police uniform and into a different uniform would be a fun twist.
Yeah. Get him out of the Family Matters uniform and into a Starfleet
uniform.
And/or
the Die Hard uniform.
Yeah. So many uniforms. He was a cop on Family Matters, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was it canonical Die Hard? Is that what Family Matters was?
No, because they're in Chicago and Die Hard's in L.A.
You don't think after the events of Die Hard he wouldn't want to go settle down somewhere else?
Start a family?
Yeah.
Maybe. I
could see that.
Maybe you're right.
We'll save that for our Family Matters podcast.
That's after we do Star Trek The Next Generation the second time, we switch over to Family Matters.
We'll take a break before doing it a third time. And we'll do all 14 seasons of Family Matters.
We call it Steve Stefan.
I guess that makes me Steve.
Ladies.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
Picard is pretty stressed out. This is a war waiting to happen. And he calls Data in at one point and goes,
Data, it's very possible that we are about to go to war. The repercussions of what we do during the next 24 hours may be felt for years to come. I want you to keep a record of these events so that history will have the benefit of a dispassionate view.
I will begin immediately, sir.
I thought this was an interesting scene because it doesn't lead anywhere, and it sort of doesn't even, I mean, it sort of makes you question, like, isn't Data recording everything all the time anyways? But I thought it was such an interesting idea that Picard wanted to kind of make sure that a document of what was happening was preserved for history's sake.
Yeah, this was interesting on a number of levels. Like, this is writing for the sake of an audience. Like, this is an almost turn to camera and going, like, hey, you guys, this is more serious than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Also, like, wouldn't Data be just as destroyed if the Enterprise gets destroyed as anything else? Like, the idea of him rolling tape on this specifically is like, okay, well, good. But also, like, he's just as fucked as the Enterprise computer is. And finally,
I don't think Picard, like, sweats the details. Maybe Data has like a black box inside of him or something.
I could see that. Something that's harder and stronger than any other part of his body.
Yeah.
I think Tasha Yar's seen that part.
Yeah, she got in there.
This is the part when Picard really realizes himself as the JFK figure, though, in this Cuban Missile Crisis. Data, you must record these moments so that others may learn. My JFK is awful. Edit that out, man, please.
Can't do it. Can't do it, Adam.
We must record these moments.
We must record these moments and so that school children for the rest of history can understand why we went to war.
We will go to the neutral zone. Not because it is easy, but because it is hard. God, my JFK is brutal. I'm so sorry. Publicly apologize to all of our viewers right now.
Why are you apologizing? We never apologize for any of our other terrible impressions.
Yeah, fuck that. Leave my impression in, edit out the apology. Done.
Yeah.
I guess that makes Tomalak Khrushchev, right? Because it isn't long before Tomalak's on the scene.
Yeah, Tomalak shows up and he's like, Picard, we do not... Yeah. he gets on the red phone. The other funny scene in here is, like, Data basically leaves his meeting with Picard and goes down to talk to Geordi about the situation, and Geordi has to kind of explain the concept of listening to your gut in times like this, where you don't have all the facts, so you have to, like, use personal heuristics to know what to do in the situation.
Yeah, Geordi is giving great plain spoken real life examples of, like, how you combine truth and your gut in order to elicit an outcome that you can live with and make decisions. And Geordi at the end is like, I do this all the time, except with women.
Well, he cannot trust his gut when it comes to women.
No. Let's
put it that way.
No.
So Data starts spending a lot of time with Satal at this point, and they're hanging around in 10 Forward, and Satal is, like, really bumming out about the fact that he's never going to be able to go back to Romulus, and he's really talking some shit about how great Romulus is. Like, it's like the best planet he's ever visited, and he's visited over 100.
You wouldn't believe the fire fountains on Romulus. They really make these fountains in the Federation look like garbage.
Believe me, some of the planets that I've been to are trash, they're fat, they're disgusting, they're fucking disgusting. Romulus is the classiest planet. Everybody loves Romulus. Believe me, it's one of the nicest planets in the entire quadrant.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he's talking shit about the drink. Like, think Guinan's going to put up with that shit? It's been a long time since we've seen Guinan, but
yeah,
you talk shit about a drink. Gotta believe she's coming up over the bar.
Yeah, I guess she's back in the bean flicking room, sitting this one out. But
yeah, he's like, my drink sucks. This view sucks. This is bullshit. I can't see my family. Like, he's got a lot of complaints right now.
And Data's like trying to this extent that he can empathize with him, and so he's like, hey, why don't we go get a load of the holodex version of Romulus? And so they go program something up, and they step out on to the Romulan equivalent of Anybody Canyon, and Sital is like shaken to his core because it looks just like some place that he's been a bunch of times. And he goes,
I no longer live here. Turn it off.
And the simulation vanishes, and they're standing in the black and yellow grid. And he says,
this is my home now, my future. I have sacrificed everything. It must not be in vain. Arrange a meeting between myself and Captain Picard. Tell him Admiral Zarok wants to see him.
It's a real, like, dun dun dun.
You mean this guy isn't who he said he was the whole time? I think it's weird that they basically do a cut from the interrogation room with Riker, Troy, and, he wasn't Zarok back then. He was Sital back then. And they cut to him just by himself in 10 Forward. Like, he was a prisoner for a while, being interrogated. And then he was just having drinks in 10 Forward. What's up with that?
I don't know. I mean, he wasn't like a prisoner. He wasn't in the brig. Like, there's a shot of him in you know, they put him up in a stateroom, and he takes the cyanide capsule out of his boot and takes a look at it. And
this is two episodes in a row where Riker showed someone where they could get the food out of the replicator. Like, this is a Riker showing people how to get food is a leitmotif of this show.
Yeah, I don't think they did much with the replicators in season one and two, so maybe they're like really excited about the fact that they have them in season three.
Yeah.
The big reveal is that this guy was the admiral that he claimed to work under, and he has been monitoring all this communication about this buildup of troops on Nelvana 3, and he's kind of a peacenik. Like, he rose to the rank of admiral, but then was like, hey, like, let's try not to go to war with the Federation, because that would be really bad. And so he was given the Romulan equivalent of being stationed in Alaska, where they kind of got him out of the way. Like, he got to a certain rank, but he was not powerful enough to stay in play, politically speaking.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things that what is his name now? He's not Sital anymore. He's
Zarok.
One of the things that Zarok says is like, yeah, I mean, my feelings about war changed when I had a daughter and looked into her eyes, and suddenly now I don't want to kill anyone anymore. Like, that's the case he's making. He's like, Picard, you wouldn't know about this. You're a lifetime bachelor. You're married to this ship. But me, I got a family, and I don't want to see her die in some stupid war between our people.
Yeah. And so they're like, okay, like, you definitely are powerful enough to know what the fuck you're talking about with this planet. So let's go check it out. And they warp over to this planet, which is like in the neutral zone, and they get there, and ain't nothing there. It's a uninhabited planet, and they're picking up some signal, but it's in orbit over the planet, so that it's not something that's on the surface. And there's definitely not a cloaked base, because it would be visually distorted. And they're like, well, fuck this, and they turn heel to try and get out of there. And what didn't you know it, but a couple of Romulan warbirds decloak, and there is Tomalak with his cavalry, and he has set a perfect trap for Picard.
Yeah, pretty brutal, because as soon as they discovered that there's nothing on the planet, Picard's like, oh shit, like we better get the fuck out of here. And we get a great exterior shot of the Enterprise backing out of the driveway and attempting to head down the street.
Right.
When two Romulan cop cars do those, like, the e-brake slide in front of them.
Totally.
To sort of stop their progress.
There's a lot of cool shots of ships in this episode. There's a pretty early in the episode, there's a shot of the shuttle, like, outside the Enterprise that's kind of over top of the shuttle looking down on it and the Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah.
Really sweet.
Yeah, this remastered footage is great.
And so Tomalak has Picard dead to rights, and it sort of feels like Tomalak may have engineered this entire situation just to get Picard back for what went down at Galornden Core, where Picard sort of caught Tomalak red-handed up to some shit in Federation territory.
Right. Now they're both red-handed.
Right. And what comes out is that Jarok was essentially being tested for his loyalty. They were feeding him disinformation about this base at Nelvana 3. They ginned up all of these military records and orders and things that were going across the transom that he was monitoring and made him believe that the Romulans were preparing for a war with the Federation. And the Romulans were doing that to see what Jarok would do if he believed that, and they in fact discovered that he was willing to betray the Empire to prevent war. So
I thought this was the one moment where Jarok's character, like, he is bigger than life in the entire episode, and he totally shrinks at the truth of this moment. Like, I expected something a little more explosive out of him when he realizes that it's all been a lie and he has been a pawn in some weird game, but he just sort of shrinks.
Yeah, but it's great. Like, it really sells what his journey is. You know, he realizes that he made a sacrifice to prevent war, and he realizes that that sacrifice was just a part of a crazy trap that was laid for him
to make war,
and also, you know, and the consequence is that he's never going to see his family again. He's going to be exiled forever, you know.
He might die here.
Yeah.
Like, he's that fucked. Like, that's the situation that's come to a head, too. Tomalak's like, check it out. You're going to surrender. We're going to take apart your ship. And we're going to, like, display it in the middle of Romulus as a trophy about how badass we are. It's a great shit talk.
Yeah, it's like that U.S. Navy ship that they have docked in Pyongyang.
Right.
You can take a tour of. It, like they're like, we're going to turn your ship into a trophy, and there's nothing you can do about it because you're totally outgunned right now. And
it's a great big dogging.
Yeah, yeah. Picard is getting big dogged real bad by Tomalak, and you think that it's going to go one way, but then Picard signals Mr. Worf, and a whole bunch of Klingon birds of prey decloak, surrounding all of the Romulan warbirds, and Picard basically says, you know, not today, my friend.
Yeah, it turns into like a Reservoir Dog style Mexican standoff, right? You got the Federation pointing a gun at the Romulans, you got the Klingons pointing guns at Romulans, everyone's pointing guns at each other. It's great.
Right. Yeah, and we never see these Klingons, but we did get this was planted a little bit earlier when they started to realize that the people on this side of the neutral zone may have to deal with a Romulan incursion. The high command of the Klingons got in touch, and Picard had Mr. Worf deal with it. So it was kind of a nice little subtle plant and payoff in this episode.
Yeah, it was in. The Federation is the enemy of their enemy, and so they showed up. They had their backs. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's like having the neighborhood bully have your back, being down with the Klingons, you know?
Yeah, pretty nice.
Cool.
My love is a fever, long and chill for that, which longer nurses the disease.
So the Romulan ships peace out.
Yeah.
Picard sort of gives a thumbs up back to Worf, like, yeah, that worked out just how we hoped.
Give those Klingons a high five for me, bro.
Yeah, Riker gives the word to get the fuck out of the neutral zone. And then a little while later, we cut back to Jarek's quarters. Jarek's iced himself with that astronaut suicide pill.
Yeah. And he left like a suicide note on an iPad. And they talk about how there's no way that they can deliver this note to his family. But maybe if more people like him are willing to stand up to the warlike leadership of the Romulan Empire, they can hope to one day be able to do that.
Hey, Ben, you know a lot about NASA. Way more than I do, certainly.
I don't know. I wouldn't say I know a lot, but I know a little.
Is there any truth to the whole astronaut suicide pill thing that I had read about that no one seems to confirm?
Oh, I've never heard that.
Yeah, I heard that the first people to do spacewalks, like, basically, since NASA started spacewalking, they started giving astronauts suicide pills.
Wow.
In case they became untethered.
Wow.
Rather than face a remaining lifespan that would be a tremendous amount of suffering. What I read is that, like, they would be in the fillings of a tooth or something. Like, and you would just pop it with your tongue, and that would dissolve the suicide pill so that it would ensure a painless death instead of burning up in the atmosphere. You haven't read this?
I have not read it. It sounds like bullshit.
Is this headcanon to me?
It's the kind of bullshit that I like, so I'm...
Yeah.
I'm curious. Maybe... I know that we have a few NASA people that listen to the show, so maybe somebody can write in and let us know.
I personally think the idea of that is great. I'm not putting it out on the street as someone who thinks that's a crazy idea. I think that's sensible and reasonable. Yeah. When you're doing work like that, like, I don't know, man, would you rather burn up? I don't think that's the way I want to go out.
I don't think that you would, though. I think you're just going to stay in orbit until your oxygen goes away. And that means you'll just like die by falling asleep.
That sounds pretty nice, actually.
Yeah. Good way to go.
Yeah. Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
You find a drunk Shimoda in this episode?
Drunk Shimoda. I'd be curious to hear yours. I haven't really settled on one.
Well, the guy I picked out was Satal back when he was Jaren, right? Do I have that right? What was the
Jarek first? Is what he becomes. Satal is what he starts as.
Okay, so back when the defector is Satal, they bring him into sickbay, and he does some really championship level big dogging of Worf. Mm-hmm. Like, he's talking to Riker and he's like, I don't know why you have, and then he drops like some pretty hardcore Klingon profanity. Like, yeah. I don't know why you have this guy around here. He's clearly and then he like makes a throat clearing sound that clearly means like something terrible in Klingon.
Butthead.
Yeah, exactly. And Riker's like, well, I wouldn't expect a Romulan word for piece of garbage to to say something like that in public. Yeah, so
I feel like we learned the Klingon word for butthead and the Romulan word for buttwad.
Yeah.
You stood, buttwad.
Satal is on an enemy ship. He's totally injured. For him to be the guy, like, talking shit in that moment, I thought was totally Shimoda-like. Like, he had no fucks to give at that moment. Great scene. Funny scene, really.
Yeah.
And so Satal is my Shimoda this episode.
The Romulans do have a way of, like, noticing that Worf is near them and, hating him reflexively.
Yeah, and Satal doesn't even look at him when he drops that science. He's just looking at Riker and rolling his eyes.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
Good one. I think my Shimoda is going to go to Commander Data because I feel like he gets asked by the captain to do his research and like make a super objective record of this prelude to war, and then like almost immediately heads down to engineering and engages Geordi in a very trivial conversation. Like, what is going with your gut? It's like,
what mean expendable?
Yeah. And it
It's just a real silly scene that I guess provides some levity in what's otherwise like a fairly well done tense episode. And yeah. I guess you need to let the pressure out from time to time to make it work, but not right then, Data. Like, pick your moment, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, good pick.
And you know, it helps that all of that takes place in and around the Jim Shimoda Memorial Corner.
That's a good place to do some exposition. What do we have coming up on the next episode?
The next episode is Season 3, Episode 11, The Hunted. The Enterprise is bombarded by a soldier who is the victim of government mind control, which turns him into a violent killer.
Sounds great.
It sounds fun. I don't have any... That description does not jog my memory at all.
Yeah, is this like a Universal Soldier storyline?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I can remember a Deep Space Nine episode about a similar situation.
Hmm.
But I don't remember this one.
Yeah, this is one of those that's just lost in the ether. That yeah. feels like a lot of episodes are subject to in Season 3. Like, Season 3's big episodes are coming. And everything that comes before, I think, is not forgettable for its own fault. Really, it's just that things that are coming are cast such a large shadow.
Yeah, I think we should call out something kind of cool, which is that this episode we just watched is the first episode released in the 90s. It's literally released on the 1st of January, 1990.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything that has come before now has been in the 80s.
That's and so... I can't imagine watching Star Trek on New Year's Day. Can you believe that was a thing? Like
nursing a hangover.
Your parents are watching college football and you got to go find a little TV somewhere to watch your Star Trek.
Yeah.
Man.
I really think of this as a 90s television show.
Yeah,
and I guess
too.
The majority of it is, and also the majority of me watching it took place in the 90s.
Yeah.
But yeah, funny to think about everything before now being 80s.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, the hair is going to get way better from here on out, right?
Yeah, that's what the 90s are known for. Great haircuts.
Oh, man. Can't wait.
Darmok, Angelad, Tanagra.
Every morning when I hop out of bed, I get a couple of capsules of my Ritual multivitamin and a capsule of my Ritual Symbiotic Plus probiotic. I pop them in my mouth. Wash them down with a bunch of water. And I know I've taken vitamins and supplements that are going to get my body off to a good start. And these are rigorously tested and validated by third parties for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. And they use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. The Essential for Men is the quality multivitamin that I take from a company you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/scars. Start Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/scars for 25% off. Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. Now, if you're like me, you were born in the 80s, and THC was vilified by teachers and police officers and members of the clergy and politicians, and it really got ratcheted up to a fever pitch. So I think it is fair to have a little bit of trepidation around this kind of thing. But I think for a lot of people, a microdose of a cannabis product is actually a great thing. And if you are interested in seeing why it is so ridiculous that the world went so reefer mad for so long, I encourage you to give Microdose Gummies a try. So get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code SCARVES. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com. The promo code is SCARVES for 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com, promo code SCARVES.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to... oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Hey, Ben, a lot of people support our show by going to MaximumFun.org/donate. If any of our viewers would like to join their ranks, we would really appreciate that. They can go to the website I already named. I don't need to say it again. MaximumFun.org/donate. You know the site.
Or go to the MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron and arrange a mission priority message. What is it?
A priority one message is what we're calling them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if that sticks or not. Maybe yeah. Maybe you have a boyfriend or lady friend you would like to profess your love to.
Yeah, or maybe you have a cool creative project or podcast of your own that you would like to tell our listeners about.
A project or podcast that is not a direct competitor to our own.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a special event coming up that you would like to tell people about. Maybe you've cooked a special food item that you you would like to give the recipe for.
Yeah. We're not gonna stop you for most uses of this important service.
Our viewers are especially creative, so I am very curious to see what comes of this.
Yeah, I think it could be cool. Well, you can follow us on Twitter. Adam is at GutForTime. I'm at Benjamin R. You can use the hashtag GreatestGen to talk about this episode and all the other episodes. And you can also search that to find all of the hilarious trading cards that Bill Tilly is making and all of the various artworks that our show has inspired by people. A lot of fun to go on there and see all the stuff that's happening. We are also all over Facebook and Reddit. Greatest Gen and Maximum Fun are the two subreddits. The Greatest Generation is the Facebook group and page. Very active communities both. We should thank Dark Materia for our music.
The best part of our show, clearly.
Consistently.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for hanging out, Adam.
Oh, you're welcome, Ben. I'm happy to do it.
With that, we will be back at you next time with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and a very violent episode of The Greatest Generation.
Looking forward to it.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.